Yesterday in Olympia, the House Judiciary Committee passed a bill that would compensate people who've served time in prison for crimes they were wrongly convicted of. The exonerated people would be given $50,000 for each year they spent behind bars. This is not the first time that the legislation has been proposed, but it is the first time there's been some bipartisan support for it. One of the people who might receive this compensation is Ted Bradford of Yakima. He served 9.5 years in jail for a crime he did not commit. Ted was convicted in 1996 of a rape and burglary when he was 22 years old. After 9 hours of interrogation, he gave a false confession. Then 6 years into his sentence, he contacted the Innocence Project. DNA evidence that was unearthed exonerated Ted, and his conviction was overturned a couple of times. He joins us. Ted Bradford, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on today.
You know, a lot of people hear this account and they wonder, why did you confess to this crime?
That's probably the most asked question I get. It was just a lot of pressure, and I wanted out of that room, you know, more than anything in my life, because it was just it was a terrible experience to go through. Very scary, a lot of intense pressure, like I said, and one of the main reasons, another big reason for why I gave this statement was that the police told me that they had they said they had biological evidence left at the scene, and they were going to test that. And so when I heard them say that, they said it a few times throughout the day, I figured, well, if that's true, well, they'll just test that, and then this will all be cleared up, so it doesn't really matter what I say. So I made the statements admitting to the crime, and unfortunately, when the trial came around, the crime lab said that there was nothing to be found, and so I was convicted based on that.
You got out of prison back in 2005 before you were exonerated of this crime. What was it like to get out still with that kind of hanging over your head?
It was really tough. I still had to register as a sex offender. I still had to go see a probation officer. When I was released, the newspapers had my picture and my name there, saying that I was a level 3 sex offender. Which, you know, they sent out these flyers to all the schools, so my kids were affected by it, my family. It was a really tough time.
And you, when you contacted the Innocence Project, this DNA, this biological evidence that police convinced you was there and you thought would exonerate you, even though you confessed to the crime, turned out not to be there. But in the end, that's what got you exonerated?
Exactly. So it was there all along. It's just that the technology in 1996 wasn't as advanced as it is today. So eventually it took a long time to get there, but that is exactly what set me free eventually.
So you think that if this legislation passes, you'll be eligible for $50,000 for each year you were in jail for this false conviction?
I think so, and I hope so. It took, you know, almost 15 years of my life away from me, you know, without so much as an apology. And the other exonerees from Washington State, I think we all deserve some sort of compensation for the years and the lives that they took away from us.
How's your life going now, Ted?
Actually, it's not going so great. I'm still having trouble finding steady work. Right now, my health is in really bad shape. I was just in the hospital. Right now I have a feeding tube sticking out of my nose, going to my stomach. Things are still pretty rough. It's been 7 years since my release, and I'm still having a tough time of it.
Ted, thanks for telling us your story. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Ted Bradford from Yakima, he's one of the people who might be in line to get compensation from the state government because he was exonerated for a crime he did not commit. Joining me in the studio is Lara Zarosky. She's the public policy director with the Innocence Project Northwest. Thank you so much for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe you know a little bit more background in this. How come there was no decisive DNA evidence when he was convicted and then all of a sudden there was? Like, what happened?
Yeah, in Ted's case in particular, it was the situation was that there was nothing, there was no, you know, there was a lot of evidence collected, but the perpetrator in this case came very well prepared and wore gloves and that sort of thing. And what ended up, it's really through the diligence and the very hard work of the scientists at the Washington State Patrol Crime Lab, who does all of our DNA testing in Washington State, and they were able to locate DNA on a mask that was left behind by the perpetrator that was used during the attack, and on the sticky side of the tape that was used to cover the eye holes, they were able to find DNA there. So it was really just through the diligence of those scientists and that they were able to uncover it years later and find the DNA there.
Why did they go back to working on this case, which sounded as though it was settled? They got a conviction. Ted was in jail.
He was. Well, it was really only through the work. We took Ted's case back in 2002 and were absolutely convinced from the beginning of his innocence. There were so many major inconsistencies between the statement, what's been called the confession. There were so many grave inconsistencies between the facts of the crime and what he said, and it just so much of what Ted had to say had the ring of truth, and we were absolutely confident that he was innocent from the beginning. So really, it was through our work that we were able to compel, and through the interest through the scientists at the Washington State Patrol Crime Lab, that we just kept looking.
I was kind of surprised to hear Ted say he didn't even get an apology from the state. Is that kind of the common practice, even when they let someone out who's been unlawfully jailed for years?
Yes. In Washington State, we have four cases that we consider a full exoneration through our clinic. Three of them are DNA exonerations. And in none of those cases has there even been a formal acknowledgement that they were wrongly convicted by the officials in the state. So, yeah, without an acknowledgement, they're not going to get an apology. So that's a function of what we're trying to do in the compensation bill, is to acknowledge them as officially wrongfully convicted.
Now, this is not the first time that this compensation legislation came forward. What makes you think it might pass this time?
Well, there are many differences this year in previous years, mostly the leadership of Representative Tina Orwell from Des Moines. She's been our prime sponsor for 3 years, but now the chair of the Judiciary Committee in the House, Jamie Peterson, has made really great strides in supporting this effort this year. We also had strong bipartisan support in the vote on the bill yesterday, which is the first time we've had anyone from the Republican Party vote for the bill. And in this case, four of the six members of the Judiciary Committee that are Republican voted yes. And further, we have the full support this year of the prosecutor. So actually, Dan Satterberg, the King County prosecutor, actually came and gave very favorable testimony in support of the bill when it was heard last week. So,
how many people are there like Ted who might be able to get some of this compensation if this bill passes?
Well, there's no way we can go through every case and overturn in Washington State, but we look for these cases. We know that our four clients will at least be eligible to apply for compensation. We can't, you know, predict how the courts will come out, but we feel confident in all of their cases of being able to establish their innocence. In addition to them, I know of two possible other cases in addition to our clients. The number is certainly less than 10.
So there's not going to be a ginormous payout for this.
There won't.
But the state, though, is in financial trouble. They can't even figure out a way to pay for basic education. Do you think that the state's financial climate is going to come in to this discussion of passing this bill or not?
Right. It certainly will. And it has been an issue in the previous 2 years. So this is the third year that this legislation has been presented in one form or another. The money is always an issue. But I think that there are certainly ongoing conversations about alternatives to the general fund and some different creative ways that this might be funded. And those conversations are ongoing right now with the prime sponsor and the leadership in the House. So we're hoping that something good will come of that. But even if it does turn out to be a general fund payout, we're talking about a tiny amount of money for a very small number of people, really, in the scheme of things. And I think the bipartisan support that we're seeing, the prosecutors coming out in support, really there's just an acknowledgement that this is an imperative. This is just something we need to do.
Laura Zarowski from the Innocence Project, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.